Hey everyone, welcome again to our Morning Devos. Today's chapter is Isaiah chapter 38. Again, we're kind of hopping around as we jump through the book of Isaiah. And so yesterday's was chapter 35, but we're jumping ahead a few chapters here to Isaiah chapter 38. Let me read this for us. In those days, Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die. You shall not recover." Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord and said, "Please, O Lord, remember how I have walked before you in faithfulness and with a whole heart and have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, "Go and say to Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria and will defend the city. This shall be the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he has promised. Behold, I will make the shadow cast by the declining sun on the dial of Ahaz turn back 10 steps. So the sun turned back on the dial the 10 steps by which it had declined. A writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, after he had been sick and had recovered from his sickness. I said, in the middle of my days I must depart. I am consigned to the gates of Sheol for the rest of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord in the land of the living. I shall look on man no more among the inhabitants of the world. My dwelling is plucked up and removed from me like a shepherd's tent. Like a weaver I have rolled up my life. He cuts me off from the loom. From day to night you bring me to an end. I calmed myself until morning. Like a lion he breaks all my bones. From day to night you bring me to an end. Like a swallow or a crane, I chirp. I moan like a dove. My eyes are weary with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Be my pledge of safety. What shall I say? For he has spoken to me, and he himself has done it. I walk slowly all my years because of the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. O restore me to health and make me live. Behold, it was for my welfare that I had great bitterness. But in love, you have delivered my life from the pit of destruction. For you have cast all my sins behind your back. For Sheol does not thank you. Death does not praise you. Those who go down to the pit do not hope for your faithfulness. The living, he thanks you, as I do this day. The Father makes known to the children your faithfulness. The Lord will save me, and we will play my music on stringed instruments all the days of our lives at the house of the Lord." Now Isaiah had said, "Let them take a cake of figs and apply it to the boil, that he may recover." Hezekiah also had said, "What is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord?" Amen. So in today's chapter, we visit the life of King Hezekiah, who is the king of Judah, which is why he's an important character. He's not just a random guy here. He's a king of Judah, and we see here that Hezekiah has come down with some kind of illness and is on his deathbed. In fact, Isaiah comes to him with a word from God and confirms it. He says, "Set your house in order, for you shall die. You shall not recover." Before we get to Hezekiah's response, I want to have us take a moment to just, put yourself in Hezekiah's shoes. Just imagine how you might feel in that moment. I've personally never experienced anything quite like what Hezekiah did here, but the closest thing I can think of is regarding my daughter Zoe. I've shared this before in different contexts, but while my wife was still pregnant with Zoe, one of the doctors that we were seeing told us that there was a chance that Zoe wouldn't make it to full term due to some things they were seeing in the ultrasound images, and I was devastated. I imagine Hezekiah felt that way as well, and maybe as you put yourself in his shoes, maybe that's what you can imagine yourself feeling. And after all, we do see in verse 3, at the end of it, that Hezekiah wept bitterly. So he is devastated, he is distraught. And then, maybe we would, each of us, maybe as you put yourself in his shoes, maybe there are different ways that you would respond to that feeling of devastation. But, when I see Hezekiah's response, I'm actually quite amazed. We see that he responds by, yes, he's devastated, he weeps bitterly. But before that, we read that he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. I think that's a remarkable response. Because I think a lot of people, maybe you would feel this way as well. But I think a lot of people would have been tempted to respond really differently, especially as the king. Hezekiah could have just defiantly rejected Isaiah's words and instead used all of his power, his authority and resources, which include money and whatever else, to try and find a cure. You know, despite what Isaiah said, despite what God said through Isaiah, Hezekiah could have just stubbornly said, no, I'm going to find a cure. Or even if he received these words, he could have just chosen to drown out his sorrows by, again, using all of his power and authority, you know, using everything he has to fill himself with all the pleasures that money could buy, that his position could buy. And maybe some of us would have been tempted to do the same. But instead of those things, we see that Hezekiah turns to God in prayer. He immediately turns to the Lord in prayer. Of course, you could be wondering, is Hezekiah's prayer genuine? And that's a valid question, because after all, his prayer sort of sounds like he's brashly saying, God, look at all the things I've done in my life. I've been a good person. Save me. If that was your impression of Hezekiah's prayer, I don't blame you. But that's actually not what's happening here. Hezekiah's prayer is a lot like the one we see in the Psalms. Every Friday during the week, we go through a psalm, right? And so, you know, maybe this is starting to ring a bell. For example, in Psalm 18, verse 20, King David says, the Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me. Again, that might not sit well with us because we know today, as followers of Jesus, we know that our righteousness is not from our works, but in Jesus Christ. So that might feel a little bit uncomfortable, both what Hezekiah and David are saying. But the thing is, to Hezekiah and many in the Old Testament days, including King David, one's actions played a part in the blessings or curses one received. So what I did or didn't do, how well I followed or didn't follow God, played a part in the blessings or curses that I received. Granted, that was also with the understanding that everything is ultimately under God's sovereign rule and mercy. And that's the second thing about Hezekiah's prayer. Hezekiah's prayer here wasn't one of self-righteous indignation towards God. Yeah, he was saying, God, remember the things I've done, the way that I lived. But it wasn't with this anger or this demanding of something. But it actually is a recognition that God's in control, and it's a plea for mercy. He knows that he's at the mercy of God, that God is ultimately the one who brings life and also death. And we can see that in his writing from verses 10 through 20. There's language here about how God is the one who saves, that he is in God's hands. So Hezekiah here isn't pleading with Isaiah or anybody else to help him or making this commotion. Instead, he turns away from Isaiah and whoever else may be in the room and just prays directly to God, knowing that God is ultimately the one in control and that he is in God's hands. If I were to sum up his prayer, I would basically say, God, remember me. Have mercy on me. Don't neglect me. Please have mercy on me. And the amazing thing is that we see that God not only hears these prayers, he chooses to extend Hezekiah's life by 15 years. So I want to point out two takeaways from this passage. One, our prayers have power. Our prayers have power. Very obviously here, Hezekiah prays and God works. Something is done. And you know, when we also come before God in humility, dependence, and trust, there is power in our prayers. Of course, this is not to say that everything we pray for will be answered in the way that we want for it to be answered. You're not always going to get what you want. But there is something about prayer that has power. When we pray, God moves. And not only in these small human-sized ways, but prayer, as we see in our passage today, has the power to bring the dead to life, to make the impossible possible, to shift and to change and move the world as we know it. There's power in our prayers. And the second takeaway is very much related to that, and it's that our God is a God of mercy. God hears our prayers and he acts, often even giving us what we ask for. But if you think about it, you know, God doesn't have to do that. He didn't have to extend Hezekiah's life, but he does. And not only that, He didn't have to provide a sign for Hezekiah, but he does that as well. God could have easily just said, you know, this is what I'm going to do, and you're just going to have to take my word for it. But instead, he gives him a sign. And actually, if you read the parallel passages in 2 Kings 20, you'll see that it's Hezekiah who asks for a sign. Like, he's the one who asked for a sign. And when pressed, he asked for a specific sign, that sign where the sun would turn back on the dial 10 steps. And that's really bold. And yet, God has mercy and provides Hezekiah not only with 15 additional years of life, but demonstrates his mercy and love with that miraculous sign to accompany it. And yes, in case you didn't catch it the first time, that is a miraculous sign. God has the shadow of the sundial go backwards. That's not how things naturally work. But that is who our God is, a wonder-working, merciful God. So to close, let me ask this. Is there something that you've been praying about? If so, I urge you to keep praying in greater humility and trust in God. If there are things that have seemed too big and therefore you haven't been praying about it, I want to nudge you this morning to bring it before God. He hears you and wants for you to come to him. And we know this because, well, God demonstrated his love and his mercy by sending his son Jesus into the world. Jesus was God's act of mercy and grace, a demonstration of his love and the way to life. Jesus was a sign of God's promise to the world that he would come and save. So if you're doubting, if you're wondering, if you've got this big thing in your life, but you're not sure whether God is going to move, I want to assure you today that God hears you and he will respond to your prayers. And so let's turn to him in our prayers today and each day. With that, let me close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that you're God who hears us. Not only do you hear, but you act, you move. And we see this all throughout Scripture, that you're a God who hears and moves and acts speedily when we pray. And God, that alone is a sign of your mercy. But Lord, if there's any part of us that, you know, we have been praying, but feel like we haven't seen anything, or maybe we haven't even actually come to you with some things in life because we're wondering if you're actually going to do something. Lord, help us to remember that you've already made the first move. You sent your son Jesus into the world. Jesus was the sign of your mercy and your grace, the sign of your love for us. Jesus is a reminder to us, a sign of your promise that you are present with us, that you love us, and that you care for us, and you will respond. You desire for us to come to you. And so, Lord, I pray over everybody listening this morning, this day, that if any one of us has things in our hearts that we have been holding on to, not turning to you, we want to give it to you today and trust it into your hands as we look to Jesus, the sign of the promise you've made to us. And so, Lord, we thank you that this is who you are. Thank you that you are working in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.